just the one. I mean, he's doing such a good job with I don't know how many million of us. What's there? I mean, how much more will it take for him to screw in another light bulb? Gone. It's gone. It's okay. Screw in another light bulb. Okay. Maybe I should stop talking so much and actually change these slides a bit. Yeah, that is our standard operating environment with extra stuff put on it. So I won't go into that too much, but basically you need to be able to give the opportunities, the objectives itself that you put in there need to be tangible. They need to be measurable. Okay, if you cannot measure it, don't put it in there. Because if you do, downtime could be anything. All right. But stakeholders, remember who they are. Your stakeholders are the people that the business itself. You need to know that they are the people for whom you are targeting your solutions for. Alternatives. I have three there because someone actually the last time I presented somewhere they said alternatives. But basically, you can either you have to show what will happen if you don't do anything. You have to show what will happen if you don't do it now and do it later. And, of course, if you implement now. You have to talk about the return of investment, the cost, and the risks associated with each of those. You have to look at the customer satisfaction. I mean, there is no point of having a system in there if you don't have customer satisfaction. Is that right? I mean, we are in the business of providing services. We're not in the business of providing IT solutions. We are in the business of providing business services. We have to clearly understand to Linux. You need to say these are the roles and responsibilities of the business. These are the roles and responsibilities of the IT people to implement that. And, of course, you have to provide them with an estimated timeline. And the recommendation should be based upon the evaluation of those three areas that I spoke about before. And, of course, you have to have support. People like graphs, okay? People like to see things in color. If you have a color printer, yeah, of course, put a printer on a color printer. But they like to see graphs because it gives them an idea very quickly, very, very quickly. And this one over here, if you can have a look at it, it's basically talking about product A and product B because of on investment from this product is much quicker than this one over here. I mean, it's simple stuff, but they like to see that. This is another way to actually show it. And in fact, I quite like this one. I call it the three-pronged star, where you are talking about satisfaction, end-user satisfaction, how much it actually costed in terms of the other one over here, end user satisfaction is terrific. The cost and efficiency is not that great, all right? But there is some work that needs to be done with the management practices. If you look at the purple one, the cost has been very good. The cost of it, what's the point of putting in a system that is very cost effective but doesn't do the job? And by management practices over there, I mean, we need to look at the policies and procedures that need to go with it. We need to consider that, because that could totally impact on what you are doing. If the management practice, with total cost of ownership, of course, you have to quantify the economic benefit. That's what it does. And usually that is based on both a qualitative and a quantitative assessment. The qualitative component is based on your own evaluation, your own your typical costs could be. And an example of that would be where if you, for example, implemented a who's not here, Sun Microsystems, okay, a Solaris system, this is how much it's going to cost you. Typically, that's how much it's going to cost. If we do something else, this is how much it'll actually cost. That Liz was talking about, I mean, that's an excellent resource. So, yeah, go ahead and see what you can do with it. Do's and don'ts. This is very important. Don't confuse features with business benefits. Typically, when Microsoft is selling you a product, I don't know, I don't use it too often, so I can't give you any examples of that. But basically, I mean, you need to be able to, doesn't matter, take the features, but look at the business value that they are going to get from the features. And that is what you want to talk about, not the feature itself. Don't lose focus, we forget that. The accountants, you're talking about directors, you're talking about CEOs, they don't have the time to go into any great depth. You need to give them information that they can get just like that. Challenge the myths. We have to, because we cannot just sit back and say that get the facts gives you all the facts. Get the facts. If you don't know what is on get the facts, you cannot put up a business case against the people that only know that. Do you know what I mean by get the facts? You do? If you don't, let me know, because there is a Microsoft has a marketing a camp the facts, and so you need to go there. You have to go there and see what is on that website. You have to be able to look at it, and you decide yourself. I mean, look at other research that is done out there. You need to come back and either agree with that or disagree with that. But what I'm trying to tell you is that you need to know what is in there so you can talk to people. Quality, quality, quality. I mean, that says it, everything. We have to be able to put forward a quality business case when we are going, because you cannot go up with a business case that has holes in it. You cannot go up with without providing the right information. You cannot go in there with spelling mistakes. You cannot go in there, like I said before, giving me a tender that they had before and even forgotten to take out the company or the department for whom they produced the tender before. You cannot go with that sort of a shoddy document. Use quality formatting in there. Make it clear. Because in the end, it doesn't matter how much information you have. If the information is not clear, it's not going to be. When NASA was, I think, sending people to the moon some time ago, but they actually spent millions and millions of dollars developing a ballpoint pen that they could use in space. I don't know if anyone knows about that. I mean, they had lots of value that came out from that after that. The Russians, they just took pencils. I mean, yes, you can do other things, but if it does the job, use your pencil. Use your pencil. And basically, by using that pencil, you can actually take control of your future. Thank you very much. Any questions? Yes? Actually, on their equipment. Because, believe it or not, they were sharpening their pencils. And you know what happens in space, right? Yeah. So maybe they needed to learn a bit more. But they use pencils. Okay. It could be. It could be because. I don't know, but if you take the figures though, it's the same figures. If you take them, and if you compare 96% purchasing it, that is about, from my mental maths, I think it'll be about 14% of new licenses. All right? Let's go back the other way now. If you look at OpenOffice, 8% of 1,697 are using it. All right? You know where I'm coming from? So it's basically the increase, and I know the increase for that 96.5% will be a huge number. I know that, all right. But the actual increase in the number of people that are using it is quite a lot. It's quite a lot, even though it is 1%. It is 1% of nothing. Yes, yeah, and that's the way they have actually gone up with that. With that survey, that is not my data. That is, I'm using IDG's data over there.
Just to clarify,
And yes, absolutely. Yes, if you add them both together. Yes. Initiated this project because no one else was doing it for a start. But then the reason why we initiated open source WA was so that we can reap the economic benefits from it. The government does not work with economic development. Open source is something we should be doing, but they will not have the economic development slant on it, so we actually took the initiative and pushed that forward. Saying that, though, we do have the Office of E-Government, we have Treasury and Finance, we have State Supply, so these are the major players in terms of procurement in the state. They are all working towards the use of open source software. I don't think that policy is going to say anything very much more than what is everyone else is saying, that you should consider open source software along with everything else. But the problem is that with not having a policy, we're doing more damage right now, because people are just saying, oh, we're waiting for the policy to come out. And so people that are even thinking of, yes, we do have a group that is looking at developing policy. We do have a group that's looking at procurement itself. But procurement is a tough one. As you say, there's really not much procurement happening in this space. It is so we have to educate them in terms of, yeah, you can buy certain things, but this is something you're not buying. This is a service thing. So we are with pretty hard. It is pretty hard. But saying that, we've always had problems with getting them to understand that you need to invest money to get returns. But if you're in the business of providing money for you to run a business, which is the way government actually operates, government is a business and you get X amount of dollars for that. So we also have to start talking about cost savings, because that is where they will actually start looking at it. But we also have one more problem within government. How many of you are actually from government over here? Can I have a show of hands, please? So we don't have too many people from government itself. So those of you that are within government, it's better to be a bad manager. So saying that, though, I'll stop there. Sorry?
Thank you very much, Kevin. That was very, very interesting.
Thank you.
Tea and coffee. I know that it doesn't matter what conference you go to, at about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, everyone is thinking, where is the tea? Where is the coffee? We need tea and coffee. So please help yourself again outside. We'll reconvene in half an hour.
This is the most cunning part of the entire.
Oh, I see. There's a certain pairing in there.
I'm trying to get that running for you as well.
It's my job to do
the rules set up. Jolly good.
I've got one of these funny tablets, you see. Have you got power cut in your head, haven't you? I might just get power happening too, if I may. I'm thinking about a fast exit, and therefore wrapping it up.
Okay, so why don't I take my
side? Yeah.
Is that doable?
What fast exit is?
I need to do is get my glasses clean, of course.
Presentation.
What's this?
The little rounded spherical humanoid shape. Everywhere now. Absolutely everywhere. Yeah. So I think if you guys ever have a problem with selling software, just moving the graphic line into this because.
You like this?
Yeah.
We got it, haven't we? We got it sorted.
Stop using it.
I think we have. I'm fine. Is there any water glass? Just a bit rude swigging out. That'd be lovely. Thank you. Thanks for that. Absolutely. Okay.
With Microsoft Australia. Greg's joined us this afternoon to give us his slant, and presumably Microsoft's slant, on interoperability, and I think should provoke some lively questions towards the end. So, without further ado, Greg Stone.
Thanks, Grant. Yell out and say, I can't hear you. Well, first of all, I'd really like to thank Rob and the Unix Users Group for inviting me along today, and also to give you guys a bit of an understanding of how Microsoft's thinking about the space and also how we're applying our thinking to our products and also our relationships with governments. Important. And it also believes that actually we have, as a vendor, if you like, and as a corporate citizen, quite a major part to play in this, particularly when you consider the kinds of technologies we have right throughout our government and private sector. The agenda I put together today really kind of speaks, you know, why openness is important, and then link that to some historical context around the IT industry. And then from that, really talk about some interop standards, open standards, and then exactly what is Microsoft doing in this whole area. And then, in closing, what I want to do is to, I guess, table for consideration a framework and a... So, there, it worked a second time. So far from being some kind of noble ideal, if you like, you know, for us, it's a very important starting place to address some of the present and future challenges the government faces, both internally and also externally with its citizens and other challenges that we face. And Australia's ageing population in particular is causing really governments to have a sea change around the way they think about operating and delivering services to citizens. And particularly following the Productivity Commission's recent prediction, you know, of a deficit of some $2,000 million over there. So if you look at the three Ps, you've probably heard a number of people talk about them over the last couple of days. Three Ps of productivity, participation, and more people, primarily through, you know, bringing them into the country or an increased birth rate. It's really those first two that provide, you know, realistic levers, if you like, in the near term for us to actually do something about this looming problem. And so for me, I believe that improving business processes, you know, removing barriers to information flow, knowledge flow, and really to helping workers with the right tools to make those transitions to stay on the business longer and to improve that productivity, that's the thing that's critical to help us meet as a nation this kind of challenge. And not only between agencies, but also outward facing to its constituents as well. And to do this, I think what we really need to do is to focus on the key enabler of that, which is actually interoperability. You know, how do we provide interoperability, and how do we enable that to become so pervasive that it actually enhances and facilitates Australia's productivity growth in the time frame about 93-94 through to 95-2000. So that time frame, you're looking at around about 40% of the growth came through productivity increases facilitated by IT. So I'd contend that actually applying a focus to that area is pretty important. And certainly for Microsoft, when we look at our roadmap ahead and look at the kinds of... Government's also got a pretty unique position. They play more than one role. First, we have government, if you like, as a policy-making body, as an entity that's keen to promote a healthy IT industry. competition, choice, innovation, promoting local economy, and also addressing those perceived market failures where, you know, problems occur and they need to be dealt with. You know, end users of technology, if you like, much the same way that any company out there uses technology. There's those two roles, and I'll speak to both of those as we move on. Not only government, but the issue of IT interoperability is also critical for technology companies as well today. It hasn't always been the case, but a demanding interoperability, both in the government and in the private sectors. And they're doing that because it's critical to their business. It's either a competitive advantage for them, or it's a playing condition that they are able to do that. So for Microsoft, and I know for other vendors, the motivation's pretty clear. It'll pragmatize any hope of growing our business. So let's look at a little bit of a definition, if you like, about interoperability. There's often a confusion about what does interoperability mean, how are we couching it, etc. So I thought what I'd do is table a definition. But before I do, on different machines from different vendors to share data. So kind of data-centric. Whereas CompTIA, for example, gets even more basic and says the compatibility of two or more hardware devices or two or more software routines to work together. But I think those are kind of narrow definitions. DG Information Society definition is a better one. It's broader and it's better. The ability of information and communication technology systems and of the business processes that they support to exchange data